broke
him.
I
know.
Oh, yeah.
Is that on?
No.
Jeff.
Did you mess with it?
Oh, Jeff.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. We're going to call this meeting to order. Can somebody adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Councilor Hanlon, seconded by Deputy Mayor Laham. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contradicted? Carried. We have no delegations tonight. We have no presentations. So. What's that?
No, Councilor Neary was wondering if we're being recorded, but I think we're being recorded through the...
Oh, yeah, it is being recorded, yeah. Yep. Okay, can somebody adopt the minutes, the last meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Councilor Bartlett, seconded. Councilor Stewart Sharp? All in favor? Any questions or omissions? Aye. Contradicted? Carried. Okay, we'll go to our town manager for his report.
Already?
Yep.
That's fast.
Quick meeting.
Okay, so this is the town manager report for July 24th, 2008. And I apologize to everyone for not being here for the last two council meetings. Last time I was actually away on vacation, time for that. I actually got ill right before the council meeting started. Very convenient, mind you, but anyway, I had to take off home, so I wasn't here for the past two council meetings. In any case, I have a total of five items on my reports this evening. The first one is Coastal Zone Canada Association 2018 Conference. The Coastal Zone Canada Association is a nonprofit society of coastal zone management professionals committed to promoting integrated coastal zone management practices. They had their annual conference in St. John's this year, and I was asked to take part in a panel put together by the Coastal and Ocean Information Network to discuss the challenges and positive impacts of climate change adaptation initiatives. I was specifically asked to speak on the outcomes of the climate-adjusted flood risk maps that the town received in partnership with from the provincial government. And I took part in this panel on July 17th. I just like to add that I think that being involved in these types of conferences and panels are really helpful to sort of promote our involvement in different initiatives because people see us at those events and they come to talk to us about those. And right now we have two other climate change initiatives going on right now with five other municipalities in the province for Newfoundland and then also four other municipalities across Canada for another project. So these type of things really help to explain stuff. And I was very frank in where our the benefits and or also where the and also where the challenges lie. So number two, planned power outages. On July 20th, the town experienced the planned powers that covered a large area of St. Philip's as work was being completed on Thilburn Road. The town office remained open, but the services we could provide was somewhat limited by the outage. This is to let everyone know that another power outage is again planned for Thursday, July 26th, in a similar area between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. A notice is available in the town media sites as well as on the Newfoundland Power website. The town office will again remain open on Thursday, however, some services will be limited as a result of the outage. Number three, in memorial. This is just to let everyone know that a former town employee, Mildred Squires, passed away on July 13th, 2018. Her memorial service took place on July 17th, 2018. The town staff and council, of course, passed along their sympathies and thoughts of condolences to the Squires family, and that the town has placed a small memorial message on our website in honor of Mildred. Number four, completion of a search for Director of Public Works. After a long process that started way back in March, that included two sets of interviews of a number of applicants, by a hiring committee, the town has selected its new Director of Public Works, filling a role that has been vacant since the end of March. I'm honored to welcome Charlie Hamlin to the management team. He started with the town just this Monday, July 24th, and brings with him plenty of experience and knowledge to the lead to lead the Public Works team into the future. He certainly has his job cut out for him as the town takes on new initiatives and responsibilities providing greater services to the town's residents. Later on, a motion to appoint Charlie to the role of, in accordance with the requirements of the Municipalities Act is expected in tonight's agenda. And I'd like to say welcome to Charlie, and he's sitting in the audience there. Next time, you will be seeing him behind me with the rest of the management team. And finally, we have number five, the closure of Eastern Health Clinic. This is just to notify people, it does not include in anyone else's reports, is that the town was advised recently that the Portugal Cove St. Philip's Eastern Health Clinic on Portugal Cove Road is deemed as a is being planned to be closed in the near future, with most of the services being moved over to, I think the their offices on Majors Pass. They've asked the town, or some people have been asking the town for our comments on that, and certainly we would ask any residents who have any thoughts on this disclosure to make the council aware of them, so we can share them with any officials responsible for this change in policy. With respect to that, I believe that they were planning on leaving some services within the town, but the general office is being closed and moved out. So. If any resident has any anything that they would like to make the council aware of with respect to that closure, please let them know. And that is the end of my report. Not bad for the last one
Thank
I made
you.
Off the top
no,
of my
not.
Head. Huh?
Not at all.
2 minutes.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to go back to the number one, or right after number one. I forgot to do the attendance tonight again. So hopefully this will be my first forget tonight, last one. In attendance, we have Councillor Neary, Councillor Bartlett, Councillor Harding, Town Manager Chris Milley, Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Stuart Sharp, Deputy Mayor Laham, and our Deputy Town Clerk Claudine Murray. We have our Town Clerk Tony Pollard. Representing Don Shepherd of Recreation is Nicole Clark. Les Spurrell of Planning and Development, and Jeff Lawler with Economic Development, and myself. So thank you very much. We'll go right to our committee reports. So Planning and Development, Councillor Harding.
Thank you, Your Worship. I guess they can hear me. Planning and Development Committee report for our meeting held July 17, 2018. In attendance was Deputy Mayor Jeff Laham, Councillor Johnny Hanlon, Ashley Linehan, okay, yeah, she's married now. I'm not used to saying that. Ashley Linehan, Planning Technician, and Holly Duffett, Planning Technologist. Myself, yours truly, as Chair. Deputy Mayor Laham was there for items 1 to 20 and 22. Also in attendance, Mayor Carol McDonald and Chris Minnity, Town Manager and Engineer. Item number one, Civic number 310 to 312, Bali Line Extension, Accessory Building Extension. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application to construct an accessory building extension at Civic number 310 to 312, Bali Line Extension, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded
by Councillor Bartlett. Any discussion, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contraminded, carried.
Item number two, Civic number 5-7, Olivia Place Accessory Building. Committee recommends that the application to construct an accessory building at Civic number 5-7, Olivia Place be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded
by Deputy Mayor Laham. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contraminded? Carried.
Item number three, Civic number 182-194, Beachy Cove Road Accessory Building. Committee recommends that the application to construct an accessory building at Civic number 182-194 Beachy Cove Road be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded
by Councillor Anglin. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
Item number four, Hilltop Lane Business. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application to establish a home office for professional business, heat pump cleaning and services at Civic Number 6 Hilltop Lane be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's all moved.
Second. Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carried.
Item number five, the motion, Civic Number 173 to 175, Beachy Cove Road, a business. The motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application to establish a home office for professional business, custom clothing and personalized items at Civic Number 173, 175, Beachy Cove Road, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's all moved.
Seconded by Councillor Stuart Sharp. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carried.
Item number six, Civic Number 7 to 9A Days Road, approval in principle for reconfiguration of property boundaries and construction of single dwelling. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that motion 2017-472, the approval in principle to reconfigure property boundaries and construct a single dwelling at Civic Number 7 to 9A Days Road, be rescinded in light of additional information. And that's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Panel. All in favor? Any questions on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carried.
Committee recommends that this application be referred back to the Planning and Development Committee for further discussion. Item number 7 to 21 are other items that were discussed at the committee meeting. Detailed information regarding these items can be found in Appendix A of the table report. Item 22, permits issued. There were 21 permits issued from June 29th to July 12th, 2018, as per Appendix A of the table report. And that ends my report, Your Worship.
Thank you very much. Recreation and Community Services, Councillor Stuart Sharp.
Thank you, Your Worship. Recreation and Community Service, we met July 18th. In attendance was myself, Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Neary, Mayor McDonald, and Director of Recreation, Don Sharp. Number one, program and special events update. June, July was busy for the Department of Recreation and Community Service. Recreation Festival started with Canada Day celebrations. They were a huge success with hundreds of residents taking part in a full day of activities for the whole family. From the raising of the flag, parade, family carnival, to Beanie Malone Show, Bounce Castle, Balloon Twist, many more activities that can also be seen on our website. The highlight of the evening was fireworks show synchronized to five movie theme songs. Thank you to volunteer our Deputy Chief Eddie Sharp for that. Many photos and videos were posted on social media by residents as well as on town Facebook page, thanks to our communications coordinator Stephanie. The remainder of the events for the regatta attracted great numbers, which made it one of our most positive years to date. The community breakfast with the councillors was a great time, along with Harry Potter Day in the library, trivia night, family bingo, touch a truck, seniors day, and around the bay. Regatta Day and music festival was also a great success. Although the dory races were canceled due to high winds, patrons stayed at the marina to enjoy the music, games, food, and kids' entertainment. A highlight of the day was participants taking the opportunity to row in dories in the marina. This will definitely be a part of the Regatta Festival for next year. Special thanks has been prepared by Stephanie, our communications coordinator, and it was sent to all council staff, volunteers, and supporters of the regatta. Camp Wadiet and Little Gaffers are going strong, and all 8 weeks are now full. Camp counselors are doing a great job, and we have received much positive feedback from the parents. Soccer Newfoundland, Portugal Cove, St. Phillips, Minor Soccer, and the town of Portugal Cove, St. Phillips hosted the under 14-13 female Atlantic Championships, with teams from each Atlantic provinces in attendance for each divisions. There were 8 teams and their families that visit our park over a 4-day period. Staff have received many positive comments about our park, including one parent who stated that he has been to facilities all over Canada and this is one that beats them up. Please find attached the cash flow statement from the tournament showing a net flow.
Apologize.
That's okay. The tournament showing a net profit of $3,105.45. Number 2, Touch a Truck donation. The town hosted its first annual Touch a Truck event during the regatta celebrations. The event was a great success with over 25 vehicles on display and hundreds of people in attendance. For the event, staff collected donations from patrons for the Beachy Cove Elementary Breakfast Program and Brookside Intermediate Lunch Program. Both schools will receive a donation in the amounts of $343.55 for a total of $687.10 raised at that event. Number 3, Lifestyle Center. The consultants met with the recreation staff on Thursday, July 12th to discuss program services, facilities, and other pertinent information that would assist in the development of the operational analysis. The director of the economic development, MC, also provided information on the demographics of the community and other supporting documents to support the study. Number 4, library update. Librarian Kelly Cal Meeker prepared a report of activities in the library since she has started in April. April, 192 items were checked out. May, 370 items were checked out. June, 224 items were checked out. 206 visitors to the library. July, up to July 18th, 91 items checked out and 205 visitors to the library. Full report is attached for council's review. Number 5, St. John's Triathlon. The Recreation Committee received correspondence as per attached from the St. John's Triathlon Committee. They will be hosting their annual event Sunday, August the 5th at Rotary Sunshine Park. As per previous years, they will communicate directly to the residents along the race route about the closure of Bennett's Road from 7 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Correspondence has been forwarded to the Public Works Department and the Director of the EDMC for their review and action if required. Number 6, St. John's Rotary Club. The Recreation Committee discussed that in the past, the town of Portugal Cove St. Phillips held a position on the St. John's Rotary Club. It was requested that the Director of Recreation and Communication Service send correspondence to the St. John's Rotary Club asking if they would resonate the position for a town. Position for the town. Number 7, traffic concerns and motorized vehicles on Mitchell's Pond. A resident spoke with the Director of Recreation and Community Service regarding their concerns with a vehicle parking on the side of Bennett's Road impeding traffic. They also expressed concerns with a sea doing on the pond. After the Recreation Committee meeting, Public Works received correspondence from the Department of Transportation and Works stating that they are planning to place no parking signs along this area of concern as the first step to control this issue. They will have them installed over the next couple of weeks as resources and priority allow. Number 8, community grants. After reviewing the community grants applications, the committee would like to put forward the following recommendations. Motion, committee recommends that the town discount Rainbow Gully softball field rental rate to $200 to the Munn School of Nursing as a fundraiser for cystic fibrosis. fibrosis. So moved.
Seconder. Seconded by Councilor Mary. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
Motion. Committee recommends that the town donate $100 to Abigail Chalk to assist her to travel to Montreal for Nationals. So moved.
Seconder. Seconded by Councilor Bartlett. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
Motion. Committee recommends that the town waive the fee of the Recreation Center for a fundraiser for Robbie Sharp, who has injured himself while playing softball. So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Laham. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
Motion. Committee recommends that the town donate $100 to Will Williams to assist with his travels to the men's under 15 baseball nationals in Oshawa, Ontario. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
Motion. Committee recommends that the town donate $100 to Joelle Volke to assist with her travels to the women's under 16 baseball nationals in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So moved.
Seconder. Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary-minded? Carried.
That ends my report.
Thank you very much. And seeing we're just finished with recreation, I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate Councillor Stuart Sharp on her her run on Sunday in the triathlon. Good. You look great. So thank you very much for doing that for yourself and for the town. Councillor Bartlett, Public Works.
Thank you, Mayor McDonald. Public Works, we met on July 18th. In attendance was myself as chair for items 4 and 5, Deputy Mayor Laham, Councillor Harding, Linda Newhook, Public Works Coordinator, Chris Milley, Town Manager. Item number 1, water and sewer application for Portugal Cove Road. Application for connection to town water and sewer services on Portugal Cove Road was received. Initial field assessment for this property was approved as a serviceable lot. However, the proposed installation plan was not compliant with the town's water and sewer regulations. As the existing regulations are outdated and under review, committee recommends the following revision to the regulations. Motion reads as follows. Committee recommends that the Portugal Cove St. Philip's water and sewer regulations be revised to remove the condition that the subject building must be built prior to the installation of water and sewer services as a requirement of permitting horizontal bends in a sewer service line. This is a condition 3.10.C.2.B of the current water and sewer regulations. So moved.
Seconder. Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Any question or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
And the second part of this motion. Committee recommends that Council conditionally approve the request for connection to the Portugal Cove water and sewer mains as part of the building and development application process for a new home at 1525 Portugal Cove Road. All remaining conditions found in Section 3.10.C.2 of the water and sewer regulations for the proposed horizontal bends in the service lines of the new construction shall apply. So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Laham. Any discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried.
Discussion item number 2, Portugal Cove Road, Belle Island Ferry lineup. Mayor McDonald received complaints from residents that the ferry lineup was infringing on traffic in the area, and discussion was held with the Assistant Deputy Minister and Air and Marine Services. So I don't know if you'd like to comment what you mentioned earlier about that as well.
Thanks, Councillor Bartlett. I just wanted to make mention as well that it's been brought to our attention that along with that area, the Belle Island Ferry lineup, along with that is a concern about this, there is a new horn with the ferry boats, and it's really, really, really loud. And so the area, the residents of that area are really concerned about that. It's apparently quite startling to them. And so I was just asked to bring that forward. If you're already speaking to them about that, Mayor, then maybe you'd be able to address that and
yep.
we can get you more information if you need it.
Yeah, he's
going to
come in apparently and speak to us about it, see what's going on. So
okay.
I certainly will take it up with him.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Item number three is condition of roads. The mayor questioned whether consideration should be given to having the town do pothole repairs on transportation works roads within the town's boundaries and charge the fee back to transportation and works. Item number four, Meadow Heights, Maggie's Place. During the Meadow Heights Water and Sewer Project, a gate which was located at the end of Meadow Heights was removed for construction, and at the end of construction, rocks were put in its place. The scope of the project requested reinstatement of all things removed. However, the necessity of having this area closed off has been questioned by residents in the area. Committee agreed to leave this access road open to the public as it is located on town-owned property. Item number five, planning and development referral pre-engineering sewage treatment system. There's a recommendation letter to planning and development that is in progress, being written as we speak. Item number six, Newbury Street. Concerns were received regarding life safety measures in the Newbury Street area. Committee discussed the current traffic speed policy and road condition standards, and the consensus was made that amendments are required. The motion reads as follows. Committee recommends amending the traffic speed zone policy standards on local roads from 50 kilometers per hour to 40 kilometers per hour unless conditions warrant otherwise. So moved.
I have a seconder. Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any discussion? Questions?
I do have a few
sure.
Concerns as we spoke this afternoon
yep.
about this.
Right.
And my concerns is that this is what I call a fell swoop motion, which means that if I understand it correctly, every road in this town will now go from 50
no.
to 40. Okay. So please clarify for me.
It's all town roads.
All town roads, not
yes.
provincial, of course.
Yeah, I can take that as I gather from the meeting, and there is something here that I know that was missed in the discussion, and we were saying that a local residential road. So I don't know if that would like to be amended to the motion, because I noticed that's missing from the motion, because when we were discussing it was local residential roads, so local, I guess, if it's not residential road, then it wouldn't necessarily apply. However, we don't have any other roads besides residential roads anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But the way that this is set up is that right now, the way our policy works is it says all roads in town are designed for a 50 kilometer an hour condition. So therefore, we would start off by saying, in a review of a speed for a specific road, we would start off saying, it should be 50 kilometers an hour. Are there any conditions on this road that should drop it down to anything to something less than maybe this 40 or 30 due to sharp bends or other hazards, you know, pedestrian hazards, something like that. What I'm understanding this motion to mean is that instead of starting with 50 and looking at conditions which may drop it down as a result of other conditions, we'll be starting off with 40 and then looking at any conditions that would result in it needing to be dropped down even further again. So in essence, what you said was correct, Dave. What we'll do is that we would have the understanding that all roads within the town, residential roads, local roads within the town, will be presumed to be 40 unless the policy suggests an even further reduction.
Right. My concern was that on one of those roads that we're referring to, it's a 50 kilometer per hour speed, and our data shows it to be 48 kilometers average speed. So immediately what we would be doing would be now saying that there's a speeding problem on a road that today was 50 kilometers an hour. Let me back that up again. There's not an issue of speeding on a road that is currently 50 kilometers because the average speed is 48. If the motion is passed, now we have a speeding problem on the road because the speed that was 50 kilometers today, tomorrow is 40. So that would be correct?
Yes.
Without
reevaluating the data to make sure that it still hasn't adjusted. There is a possibility that, that people may start slowing as soon as they see a sign that says 40, it may slow down. Evidence is really a questionable about that, whether that's true or not. But in any case, without an evaluation, if you just assume that the actual speed of the vehicles does not slow down and it stays at 48, then we would have a speeding problem that our traffic calming policy suggests that we have to address through some means.
Well, this particular street that we're talking about here, the Newbury Street, that's the one we're talking about right now.
Right.
And that's the one that I questioned in committee or brought up in committee for the committee's recommendation. And that was because it's a particular issue there. There's a child in grade 4 that's hearing impaired. She cannot hear at all. And I feel that a 50-kilometer zone is a little too high when the kid, if there's somebody going 50, even 48, and a kid can't hear him coming. So that was my concern on the Newbury Street.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Neary?
From my own understanding, that means then that all posted signs that are now posted with 50 all are replaced with signs posted at 40.
They won't necessarily be replaced right away. The policy is set up to basically allow us to evaluate each road and on a regular basis. So, for example, we may evaluate a number of roads. And so, say, for example, we take 10 roads this year and say, all right, it should be now be 40. Is there anything on the roads that maybe should require to be less than that, yes or no? If it's no, then say, okay, yes, it should be 40. What does the sign say? The sign says 50. Let's go change it. But that is the way the policy is done, is that we could do those in increments. We wouldn't necessarily go right away tomorrow and change all the signs, but we can expect that at some point they will all be revised to match the policy.
Thank you.
If I could just add one more little thing. I know it's not our road. It's a provincial road, which is Beachy Cove Road, and I'm sure Councillor Hanlon can address this as well. The speed limit changes from the ferry terminal road to the top of Tucker's Hill changes 4 times. It's 40, no, it's 40, then 50, then 40, and then 50. From the ferry terminal road to top of Tucker's Hill. Now, I know that's, but we can certainly get the provincial government to look at that as well. I think that's a bit ridiculous, especially for tourists or anybody traveling in the community that don't know the...
You go to the bottom of Tucker's Hill, it goes back down to 30. So.
Exactly, for about 50 meters.
If I might add, I think what the mayor is trying to say is we need, as Bill pointed out in the question period, more consistency in our speeds and on our town roads. And I think that this, dropping this to 40 in all residential areas will help us start off with a consistent speed. Yeah. It's more safe. We're hearing numerous accounts, complaints coming in almost on a daily basis about speeding. People are outraged and are upset and they want speeding addressed. And I think as the constable spoke to in our meeting, that they won't even give out a speeding ticket unless you're plus 10 above the speed limit. So really by setting it to 40, they're not even going to ticket someone unless they're doing at least 50.
Good point. And I was just going to add to that about provincial roads, what you were speaking about at our next public works meeting. We can certainly draft a letter.
Yes.
About the inconsistency of the speed limit along provincial roads as well.
Anybody else?
I'll just make a note that if this, I guess, carried now when you clear vote, what that will do is that I'll take that motion, I'll go back and edit the policy, and that policy will come back in future council meeting just to adopt the changes that remain, so you'll get an opportunity to read the wording. So I'll be taking this wording of this motion to...
If it passes,
to edit the policy on your behalf, and it'll come back to you again for adoption later.
Thank you very much. So no, okay, Councillor Hanlon.
Just from memory, when we did bring in this particular policy in the last term, Safe PCSP did lobby us to bring this to 40 instead of 50, and if it's not posted, it's considered 40 rather than 50. So I I'm sure that Safe PCSB will be quite happy with this motion as well, to see that we're bringing it back to the 40 kilometers that they asked for.
Thank you. So, all ready for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Counter-minded?
You can
carried.
And I do believe, yes, that finishes the Public Works report.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Economic Development, Marketing, Communications, and Tourism, Councillor Neri.
Thank you, Your Worship. Economic Development, Marketing, Communications, and Tourism met on Wednesday, July 18th. In attendance was myself as chair, Councillor Bartlett, Jeff Lawler, Director of Economic Development, Marketing, Communications, and also in attendance was Mayor McDonald for items number 1 to 7. Item number 1, Heritage Updates. A, Ancestry Library Edition. To support the Family History Club and provide an additional service that we can offer at the library, the committee discussed a genealogical research project called Ancestry Library Edition. It does not have all the features of a private subscription of Ancestry.com, but has a comprehensive database of valuable information. This can be purchased under the Heritage budget, although it was not included. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the town purchase a one-year subscription of ProQuest Ancestry Library Edition at a cost of $500 US plus HST. So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any questions? Discussion?
I'd just like to say, this gives people who are interested in their ancestry, it gives them a starting point. Because from my experience, many people don't know where to start. And for a lot of people now with this program, if its motion is passed, they'll have a starting point. They'll have a people there that will help them and guide them through and probably spark more interest. And I think it'll be a major benefit for our town too, for people who are, you know, background is from this town or are new people to this town. So I think it's a wonderful idea.
It also enhances the services that the library provides, right? So it's available on all computers there for residents to be able to come in and access. Yeah.
Councillor Harding, I think you want.
Yep, I just had a couple of questions. First one is, so everybody in the community can avail of this for the $500?
Yes.
To check their own ancestry out?
Yes. Everybody.
And in regards to ancestry, and a Heritage Committee member, Catherine Miller, who has extensive church records that go back hundreds and hundreds of years, will she be incorporated in this, or has she been discussed in this at Heritage Committee level or anything?
Well, I think certainly now she'll be approached. After you indicated to us.
I know, just on a personal level, I did the spit in the bottle thing, and I did the Ancestry.com thing, and outside of what I got in the local churches and stuff, I didn't get a big return, simply because Ancestry.com, and this is a private one, not the one you're talking about there, you know, I found out that I came from England and Africa and all this kind of stuff with the DNA one, but the Ancestry.com one was basically giving me information that was already... They had compiled it from church records and stuff like that anyway, which we have a huge archive to do. For the sake of $500, I don't understand why it says US and why it doesn't say Canadian, but that's neither here nor there. For the sake of $500, I think it'd be a good experiment for letting people to try and see if they can find their ancestry for sure.
And we can certainly keep statistics on how many people are using the system.
Anybody else?
Just to clarify that, I think for Councillor Harding, it is US funds. Is it not, Jeff? That was.
He was probably paid with Canadian dollars. So we you know, my question on that is if it was $675 Canadian.
Well, the invoice is 500 US, so we'll.
Whatever the exchange.
From the invoice, it's 500 US.
Cool.
Okay. Ready for the question?
Sorry. Councillor Neri, do residents have to pay? Like, if I go in there, do I have to pay something?
No.
Not with your library membership.
Awesome.
No, it's totally available.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's free to all residents.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay, ready for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Countermined? Carried.
Anchor preservation and placement. Preservation work on the anchor recovered last year during construction of the Portugal Cove breakwater is set to commence. The final placement of the anchor will be in Portugal Cove, likely located at a future lookout or at the ferry terminal. The Regional Heritage Fair. Brookside Intermediate will be hosting the Regional Heritage Fair in May of 2019. The town will offer to provide support through our Heritage Committee and staff. Number 2, Environment Updates. PCSP Property Beautification Awards. Details of the annual garden competition were discussed. The competition will be renamed the PCSP Property Beautification Awards and will have 5 awards. Number 1, Best Residential. Number 2, Best Commercial. Number 3, Best Curb Appeal. Number 4, Greenest Garden. And number 5, Best Edible Garden. Details can be found on the website, and the deadline for nomination will be Friday, August the 24th, and judging will take place September 4th to 7th. ACE correspondence. ACE submitted 3 letters with recommendations and concerns on various issues, including minimizing water runoff, sewage treatment, future development, and communications. The letters will be distributed to respective departments and committees for consideration and follow-up. Number 3, the East Coast Trail announcement. Representatives of Paradise, CBS, and PCSP will meet at Grayman's Beard on Friday, July 20th. That is what was discussed in our committee meeting. However, since that time, that date has been changed as a result of impending weather that we foresee coming. So they have changed that now to Friday, July 27th at 3:30 p.m. for a photo and to announce the collaboration with the East Coast Trail Association on Miner's Path, which will connect the 3 communities from the Portugal Cove Ferry Terminal to Topsail Beach. Work is expected to be completed on the path through the summer of 2019. Deputy Mayor Jeff Laham will represent the town. PCSP Connects. The committee discussed PCSP Connects and plans for the future. After a soft launch last year and the transition of the communications coordinator role, we will now be officially launching PCSP Connects in September with a strong marketing campaign. We currently have over 3,000 households and businesses connected to the service in case of emergencies via White Pages information. In addition, we have 160 registered to receive customized information. Our goal is to have 15% of households signed up to receive customized information in the first year. We will require an annual renewal of the product. This is a budgeted item. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the town renew their annual subscription to Everbridge at a cost of $6,500 US plus HST. So moved.
Second. Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any discussion? Questions?
Yeah, I have a couple. I'm just PCSP. So I'm a little confused, so I'm just going to ask questions. We have 300 households in town, so basically everybody in town is hooked up in this now, each household. We got about 3,200 households. So each household is already hooked up to it, and only 5% are presently utilizing the goal that we're looking for 15%. Our goal is to have 15% of the households hooked up after the first year, but we only have 160 out of 3,000, which is really 5%.
Right, so at this time, like present day, we have 160 people, but when we launch it again in September with the hard launch and the strong marketing campaign as suggested, our goal in that year that precedes that is to hit 15%.
So out of 300 households, we're hoping to have 450 of them sign on to this at a cost of $10,000 Canadian? Am I reading it right?
Well, I think it looks like we have 3,000 households connected just by White Pages alone, so it would be almost like some of you have children in school, phone would go off and it would be a recorded message on it, and the 160 is a customized information, so what we're trying to do is get as many people as possible to put it out through our website and our media.
So for an emergency requirement, heaven forbid we'd ever need that, I would like to think not, but if we take a look at what happened recently in our neighboring community in Kenmount Terrace, when that neighborhood needed to suddenly be under potential evacuation, that's the kind of a thing that would immediately reach to all of our residents through who we have signed up through the White
Twitter
Pages.
Twitter or Facebook, is it?
Through the White Pages, like through the telephone directory?
Jeff has got anything to add to that?
Through the landline piece, right? The other piece is individuals that don't have landlines necessarily that might have cell phone, and so you'd be able to customize it to everything. So your landline, your cell phone, your email, all of those things are the individuals of the 15%.
So there's three key markets that what is the purpose of the program? Number one is for emergency purposes, all residents right now today If there was an evacuation or anything like that, then we can contact that area and put out a call to the landline because of the white page information. So everybody's had to receive a call saying you must evacuate or whatever for some emergency purpose. The secondary use of this service is for customized information. So people have to opt in. So residents have to opt in to receive information, say, on recreation or public meetings or whatever it is, or anything that there's about 8 different categories that you can select. And then you can ask to receive the information in different ways. So it might be a text on your phone or a call to your house or an email. There's multiple ways that you can receive it. That's what we're hoping to get 15%. So we're hoping to get 15% for the customized opt-in portion. We already have all the residents for emergency, but we want to be able to reach people with the information that they want to see. And then the third would be internal use for staff, anybody if there was a closure or something like that, that we can reach staff and council as well. So there's three groups that it would impact, that would benefit from the
problem. Right, so the 15% would be 450 households.
Yeah, so that's our goal for year one, to opt in to receive the customized information. Yep.
But right now, all households can receive
all that have landlines. That's
yes.
Why it's a little bit less than what.
Like landlines is not very popular right now. There's not a big lot of houses that have landlines, is from what I can understand.
Mm. Well, it's getting less so, but we still have about 3,000 businesses and households with landlines.
Just about every house got a landline. In.
Probably 500 short, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Oh, surprising.
But say, let's take a particular area of Drover Heights.
Sure.
If there was something, a flood, say, or a fire in Drover Heights, could you just press a button and it just go to Drover Heights, or would it go all over the town?
No, it would go just to Drover Heights.
Okay.
You can customize your area for it. I just have to record my voice and then press send.
Because we were asked that question last night. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can.
That's good.
You can choose
okay.
areas.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Another question I have is, if there's I'll use Drover Heights again simply because it's the last time we have a public meeting here. So if there was a public message that had to go out to a particular area, can we utilize this system to put out a public message about a meeting or about water sewer rates or, you know, that kind of stuff?
The way the policy is right now, the person would have to opt in to receive it. So we wouldn't
be one of the 450.
Yeah, we wouldn't bombard everybody in the town.
No.
Some people might not want it, but in the same sense, if there was something serious enough that I guess council wanted to get out, then I guess you can go by the case-by-case scenario to send something out. But right now the policy is that you have to opt in to receive the information unless it's an emergency.
Yeah, it's an emergency. For example, that power outage, we had a map showing where the power outage
mm-hmm.
was a couple of days ago, and then again on the Thursday coming.
Mm-hmm.
If that was considered an emergency, we could basically highlight that exact same area that was identified in the map from Newfoundland Power and send messages to all those people. Of course, that's just going to go to their landline, but if all those people in that area had opted into it, then it would go to them in every which manner they would expect to get it, so they could get it by text,
mm.
via anything else. So those type of messages could easily be passed to
yeah.
people. One of the things, we can't send it to their landline automatically to those 3,000 if they don't opt in, because that's a
right. So if I signed in to follow us on Twitter, and if I was following the town on Facebook, that's the same type thing. If you put a message on Twitter, anybody in town can follow us on Twitter for free, and they
sure.
get the message.
Sure, if you're following like that, but if you
yeah.
have a
opting
would,
in, it's
this
the same
would be
spot,
a,
right?
this would be a notification to your you get a text, say, so you would get it. You wouldn't have to look.
Not
for
a
it.
Tweet.
You
right.
wouldn't you know automatically get it.
Okay.
I just from my own information, is this different than the big providers of phones that are out there now, just say Rogers or whoever is out there that's providing now, when they're provisioning phones and TVs and stuff like that, they have to put in a geocode. There's no signing up. It's mandatory to put in a geocode for 911. So if there is a disaster in this area or whatever, it bursts up against your TV or your phone. Is that the same thing that you're talking about, or is that something totally different? just for me, just to
yeah, well, I guess
clarify.
We've seen some, firm, like Rogers, for example, and Bell, we saw their attempt to do the cell phone text out there a couple of months ago. That didn't work all that well. A lot of people didn't get their message. So, yeah, there's definitely people starting to try and do that for emergency purposes. How we communicate with them on that, I guess we haven't ran into that yet, thankfully. But this gives us a little, like the flexibility and knowledge that we're hitting our residents with information with in a timely fashion, as opposed to and a decision made by council. Maybe it's not. We don't know their criteria of what is emergency, what's not, what's a disaster. But in this way, we can send it to our residents pretty quickly and effectively without going through a third party or anything like that.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
No problem.
Anybody further? Ready for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contraminded?
Nay.
Carried.
For the record, Councillor Harding was against the motion.
Service level review. Council and senior staff have reviewed the final draft of the service level review over the last month. The motion is as follows. The committee recommends that phase two, standards of service, and phase three, needs gap analysis of the service level review, be accepted. So
seconder?
Moved.
Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any questions, discussion?
I'll have one because I'm probably guilty of not seeing it when it was sent out. When did we receive it? The final draft.
It's gone out over email twice in the last 5 weeks, I would say. It went out at the week before last, and then it went out as a reminder again from myself, and then a follow-up from Jeff Lawler to ensure that it was reviewed before, and any questions to be asked last week.
Okay, but we haven't met as a council to. It was sent out electronically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, then I'm guilty of not seeing it. I don't know if I'm allowed to vote on it because I am.
Yes.
You had to.
You had to vote.
How do I vote if I haven't seen it? You know what I mean?
Whatever way you want.
Yep, it's your choice. Okay, yeah. We have seconder, yes. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Contraminded?
Nay, I haven't seen it. It's my fault. I apologize.
Okay, no problem.
Number six, paperless.
Sorry, again, oh, sorry. For item number five, service level review. For the record, Councillor Harding was against the motion.
Yeah.
Number six, paperless e-bill contest. Newfoundland Power has advised that the winner of the contest is the town of Appleton. Although we did not win, we would like to thank all those residents who switched to paperless e-bills and encourage those who have not yet switched to do so. Number seven, the Tickle Swim. Tickle Swim will take place on Saturday, August 18th at 7 a.m. We will continue to work with the Canadian Mental Health and Town of Obana to ensure the event's success. Number eight, media training. Dates are being confirmed with council and staff for the first phase of the media training. Tentatively, the committee discussed a couple of dates, upcoming Thursday, July 26th, and Thursday, August 2nd. However, as of now, we have not been able to finalize those dates with the consultants. So. That's still in the process, it's still in the works, and we're looking at the afternoons for staff and evenings for council, and as soon as we have further word, we'll be sure to get that out to everybody. Number nine, MNL correspondence. We received correspondence from MNL requesting expressions of interest for Big Data, Big Ideas project. We are already involved with the first iteration of this project with our regional partners as a follow-up to our demographics and perception study. Number 10, the RAN Lab. Am I saying that right, Jeff? Yeah. The Director of Economic Development distributed a Northeast Avalon project update document prepared by the Harris Center for the Regional Analytics, RAN Lab, who are conducting the project. We will continue to work with our regional partners on the project and are expecting completion in the fall. And so ends my report, Your Worship.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon, Protective Services.
Thank you, Your Worship. Protective Services met on Tuesday, July 17th. In attendance was myself as chair, Councillor Neri, Councillor Bartlett, Heather Coghlan, our employee and public relations administrator, Fred Hallett, one of our co-chiefs, and Peter Morey from the commissioners. Item number one, commissioners, municipal enforcement. The municipal enforcement officer offered the following update on activities since the last committee meeting. MEO patrols have encountered numerous incidents of vehicles parked at Rainbow Gully and Voices Brook Parks. Once the MEO patrol vehicle shows up, or the vehicle is approached, they leave. No illegal activity has been found. There is an increase in ATV and dirt bike activity in areas of Voices Brook Park, near East Pan Road, Dogbury Hill Road, and Golden Dawn Drive. Patrols are continuing to monitor and record with the dash cam. However, lack of evidence as to where the drivers live is an issue. The MEO in the town asks that residents who witness any illegal activity please contact the RNC as soon as possible. The RNC non-emergency number is 729-8000. As well, if you have any information at all to identify the dirt bikes or ATV drivers, including their home address or description of the driver or vehicle, please pass along this information to either RNC or the municipal enforcement officers. This information has been proven very beneficial with investigations, especially in conjunction with dash cam footage. You'll not be identified to the driver, nor will you be asked to testify. The municipal enforcement officers can be contacted via email to the town of PCSP or by cell phone at 743-7268. Municipal enforcement officer patrol provided assistance to a woman in need of medical attention found on enemy line. The woman refused to have the RNC called, however, MEO provided her with transportation to an alternate location. After our service call, MEO reporting an open fire on Hines Road. Patrols were in the area at the time and follow up with the residents. Fire had been in an enclosed fire pit and was extinguished by the time they arrived. A reminder was given to the resident regarding the current fire ban that was on at the time. Ongoing, still waiting on a response from ministers regarding traffic regulations. The committee chair, myself, was provided with a copy of the original letter that was sent on March 28th, and I did forward that to the minister to see if we can root around and find our letter that we have in there and see if we can get approval the same as Torbay has, but I haven't had a response yet. It's just been 24 hours since I sent it off, so as soon as I know anything, I'll bring a report back. Item number two, fire and emergency services updates. Since the last meeting, we had 7 responses. 1 brush fire, 2 structure fires, and 4 residential alarms. Ongoing training, July 9th, pump, quarter tank, and foam exercises. July 26th, live fire evolutions at the training ground. And recruit training continues every Tuesday evening. The Volunteer Fire Department provided safety boat coverage for Regatta on July 7th. Participated in the Touch a Truck event on the same date. Both events were very successful and no incidents reported. Fire prevention presentation at Kids Campus Daycare in Portugal Cove was on July the 12th. The tender for the rescue replacement will be published this week, and the tender closing and public opening has been set for Friday, August the 17th. July 6th, the fire department, in conjunction with the Department of Forestry officials, issued a suspension of all open-air burning permits within the town due to high-risk conditions. As of July 17th, again in consultation with forestry officials, the fire ban was lifted temporarily for the remainder of the week in consideration of the environment forecast. Recently completed a fire and life inspection for a licensed B&B here in the town. Current rescue unit is out of service for maintenance and a motor vehicle inspection, and is anticipated back in service on July the 18th. And the committee reviewed the department activity snapshot from January the 1st to date. Item number 3, block party impacts. The town has been received of a number of complaints regarding block and or neighborhood parties in the community, more specifically regarding impeding access to personal properties and less than adequate notification of the event. These events are organized by private citizens. The complaints were brought to the Recreation Community Service Department to assist with the development of a written agreement to use town equipment for the events. The committee has recommended that agreement make a note of rules and regulations organizers must follow, including but not limited to, not permitted to block traffic from the roadway or impede access to private properties for safety concerns. Organizers may provide a designated responsible individual to walk vehicles safely through the event. Adequate notification of the event must be provided to all residents in the area and a time frame to be determined. Item number four, feeding wildlife regulations. Myself, as chair, has provided some revisions to the draft regulation, and the revised copy will be brought to all members of the committee this week, and hopefully we may be even able to turn around and put it out to all councillors for review. And I guess next council meeting we probably have a notice of motion for that regulation. Can you clarify that, Chris? Do we need a notice of motion to bring forward that regulation, or is it something that we can just bring as a next as a motion at the next meeting?
For all regulations, needs a notice of motion. When is you know, could be a bit flexible on that. Like you can either do it before you make a change to one prior to make a change, or you can do it prior to the adoption. So.
Okay.
In this particular case, as long as you get
nevertheless, at the next meeting, we'll decide which way we go then. Okay. And item number five, beach usage signs. Staff have acquired some quotes for producing the beach signs. Once three quotes have been compiled, the committee will review and make decisions for the best value product. And that ends my report.
Thank you very much. Deputy Mayor Lamb, Administration of Finance.
Thank you, Your Worship. Administration of Finance Committee met on July 17th, 2018. In attendance was myself as chairperson, Councillor Harding, Mayor McDonald. Staff was Chris Milley, Town Manager, Tony Pollard, Director of Financial Operations, and Claudia Murray, Deputy Town Clerk. Item number one, accounts for payment. Motion, committee recommends council approve payment of regular accounts in the amount of $136,125.17. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Harding. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Undermined. Carried.
Item number two, Grand Concourse Authority. The committee discussed the Grand Concourse Authority managing town projects versus the town calling for open bids. Item three, request to purchase town land. The committee completed their discussion regarding a request for the town to sell a piece of their land at the edge of a cul-de-sac in Ocean's Edge to B&B Homes. The Director of Financial Operations will follow up with a letter to the requester stating the town is not selling the land. Item 4, request for legal opinion. The legal advice obtained by the town concerning a previous conflict of interest claim was requested by a resident. The committee discussed the request and is recommending that the release of information not be granted. Item number 5, correspondence. Jack Bernarina. On June 27, 2018, the mayor represented the town by attending a presentation at the Jack Byrne Regional Sports and Entertainment Center concerning an ownership buy-in proposal and facility expansion presentation. As a follow-up to the presentation, the committee received a request from the center to contribute $1,520,400 towards the expansion of the current facility. Motion. Committee recommends that council not accept the Jack Byrne Regional Sport and Entertainment Center ownership buy-in proposal and not contribute to the expansion of the center. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Stuart Sharp. Any discussion?
Well, I just wanted to say that this fee was broken down, and it was based on population. And Port Coast St. Philip's being the largest population was asked to pay the largest amount. So I think there are a lot more fair, equitable ways to do this than basing it on population. That's just my
Sense. If I'm not mistaken, I think these numbers are actually been updated since, and
yes.
Our cost would actually be over $2 million.
No.
Well, the population didn't go up by 40% since that time.
It'd be close to, or at
you
least to.
House facility.
No.
Any further?
I'd like to just comment on this because this has been an ongoing thing for many years. The town of Portsmouth Cove, St. Philip's had the opportunity to buy in, I'd say, somewhere around 10 to 15 years ago and bowed out at that particular time. And ever since, it was kind of, you know, I have mixed emotions on it because I spent 6 winters in Jack Byrne Arena with my own child being the coach of hockey and knowing how many children in this particular community are actually part of the Minor Hockey Association that is called the Northeast Eagles. And the kids in this community, whether we support it or not, are in it because Hockey Newfoundland says our community is. Hockey, and not like soccer, has residency rules that they decide where you live and what association you play with. Right now, we get the benefit of playing in that particular arena or be part of that organization without putting any money whatsoever. I don't support the big dollar tag value they have, but as a region, and this is a regional center, event center, because right now they're promoting that they make just as much money on their events as they do with the minor sports programs here. It is something that kind of gives me cause to reflect on it, because we do promote so many other things on a regional basis, but like someone just said earlier, putting a dollar tag just solely related to the amount of people in the community is not the way that this should be approached, as far as I'm concerned. And I did express that to one of the members of that group when I did meet them at a social event a little while ago, that I told them their pitch was wrong and they're not going to get buy-in, and I know that that is the case here tonight. But just from a regional perspective, and I know there is, that's Northeast Avalon Minor Hockey is the largest minor hockey association in the province right now, and our kids are a very, very active part of that association. And for us to be just not involved whatsoever, kind of, it's a double-edged sword for me.
It's a big price tag.
I can't justify that amount of dollars, but I did have a couple of other ideas that I did pitch to the members of that organization, and which Deputy Mayor of Torbay is a part, is actually the chair of that board right now. And I pitched a couple ideas at them that they need to go back and figure out a different scenario when it comes to having a regional buy-in to this particular facility.
The formula is really not conducive for us.
To add another thing in, this particular facility, which is what they're promoting right now, is not subsidized whatsoever. So it's whatever way they, if they do come back, I don't know if they will or not, but it's not a subsidized facility. There's no money after the fact. It's just the initial buy-in.
Yeah, they're self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's my little
which is great
part on that, but there is a lot of our residents that are very actively involved at that particular complex.
Yeah,
well,
I agree.
If I could say something on this,
yes, go ahead.
Being part of the recreation committee, my kids too grew up playing hockey, and they were 5 years old, kicked out of St. John's at age five, and put back to Northeast. And it's a great organization, but we're right now just trying to get our lifestyle center off the ground, and we are a small community, 8,500 sole people. We just can't afford to have an expensive lifestyle center and then push over money into a rink too. Just can't do it all. Our wants and needs are going to have to be divided there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are we ready for a question, or anybody else got it?
Never ready for a question.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary? Carried.
Item 6, access to records. The committee discussed the level of access councillors and staff have to records. It was agreed that councillors and staff are governed by the rules of the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act 2015, have the right to access records they need to do their job. Records may be redacted when necessary, and that all councillors should receive the same information. Item 7, Director of Public Works. Council and town staff would like to welcome Charlie Hamlin as the successful candidate for the Director of Public Works position. Motion. Committee recommends Council approve the appointment of Mr. Charlie Hamlin for the position of Director of Public Works effective July 23rd, 2018. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Stuart Sharp. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Contraminded? Carried.
And so ends my report, Your Worship.
Thank you. Oh, we have a few correspondence that has been sent to the appropriate departments. And if need be, there'll be an answer on those next week, or the next 2 weeks, next meeting. So is there any new business?
Yes, Your Worship. Selection of design and project management firm for the Drover Heights Water and Sewer Project. The Drover Heights Water and Sewer Project is now ready to proceed. We were waiting on quotes for project management and engineering consulting services and now have received them. After the below motion, the next steps will be for the project manager to ensure prime consultant agreement is in place and that is it is acceptable to the Department of Municipal Affairs and Environment, after which time the project will go to tender. Motion. I recommend that council contract Wood Environment and Infrastructure Solutions to provide project management services for Drover Heights Water and Sewer Servicing Project 17-CWWF-18-00003 in the amount of $36,542 plus HST, and further to that, council and also contract Progressive Engineering and Consulting Inc. to provide engineering, consulting, and construction inspection services in the amount of $28,559.56 HST included. So moved.
Seconded by Councilor Hardy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried. So there's no notice of motions?
Under no business there. This comes out as a notice pertinent to the manager's report earlier. I just wanted everybody to know that we started delivering petitions to the convenience stores today. It'll continue all week about the medical center being transferred from our community into the Major's Path facility. There's supporting documentation on the petitions, and we hope that we get a lot of people to sign it, and the MHA for our area will be presenting it in the House of Assembly after he collects all the signatures.
Thank you. Nothing else, then there ends our meeting.
Excuse me, Your Worship, can I add one thing?
Sorry.
New business, sorry.
Sure.
It just came in actually this afternoon. The repairs earlier alluded to the emergency vehicle is sitting at complete transfer at the present time in repairs in the amount of $4,765.14. Just because of the conversations we had around the need to go to purchase order, things of that nature, this sort of falls in between because it went in for motor vehicle inspection and it's now found out that it had to do some significant amounts of work, and they had asked me to issue a PO for it. It broken springs, exhaust system repairs, a muffler, brake system, backing plates, lighting issues repaired, etc. So it's a fairly lengthy list of items that had to be done. So I'm just asking council if they would approve that the town issue a PO to complete transport in the amount of $4,765.14.
Any questions on
that? It's one of those situations where I guess where you don't know what damage is done or until you actually go in and put it in for inspection. Damage inspection, given that it's an emergency vehicle, you really can't take it out and go around, shop it around for all the individual pieces of repair. So.
And it's already in the shop.
It's already in the shop.
Okay, so all in favor?
So moved. Yes.
Do we need a motion? From Public Works.
It doesn't matter. As long as a mover and a seconder.
Oh, okay.
So it's just so moved to make a motion if the emergency vehicle repaired at a cost of
$4,765.14.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Councilor Neary. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary-minded? Carried. Thank you again. Anybody else? Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned. We have a motion. Yeah. Councilor Hanlon.
Second.
Seconded by Councilor Neary.
Okay, thank you. Just give me a second to switch the tape off.